Before we get started on today's episode, I wanted to let you know about some incredible initiatives we have kickstarted here at Chinmaya Mission Niagara. The first is an upcoming series on why we do what we do, happening next week from April 5th to 8th. Next up is our Plant 141 initiative. This one's dedicated to giving back to our environment, specifically trees. They give us shade, they purify the air, they're an icon of selflessness. And so our community has taken up the promise, our Sahasra Vriksha Sankalpa, and committed to planting 1,000 trees together. So whether you want to plant a tree in your own community or even donate to an organization that will plant a tree on your behalf, you can visit our website at chinmayaniagara.com, and all of the links will be in our show notes. And again, you can always access this information at chinmayaniagara.com. Okay, now on to today's episode. Who is your role model? What is your ideal? Are you on the right track? In this next episode of the Hinduism 101 series, Vivekji helps us understand the ideals of Hinduism so we can start making our content stronger than our context.
Aryam, and greetings from Niagara Falls. Back in the day, a great guide, his name is Narayana Guru. Some of you may have heard his name in relation to Swami Chinmayananda. He had come to a devotee's home for bhiksha, and he was knocking on the door, asking them to let him in. And the devotees had yelled from inside saying, "We're finishing our puja to Narayana Guru, just wait." Here these devotees are worshiping a photograph when the actual Narayana Guru has arrived at their home. We don't want to be such devotees, such bhaktas. We're just devotees and bhaktas for namesake. We want to evolve from being philosophers to being practitioners. Our course is a fine combination of knowing the philosophy of Sanatana Dharma and how to practice this. In the world, there are billions of searchers. A searcher is one who's trying to find meaning, but has no idea where to find this meaning. In other words, they don't attend meaningful mornings. Billions are like that. Out of these billions, millions evolve to become shishyas. A shishya is one who knows there is more to life than dukkha nivritti. In other words, there's more to life than escaping pain through shopping, through exercising, whatever. Out of these millions, thousands evolve to become sadgurus. Those who are feeling sukha prapti. They're not just philosophizing about it, but they feel that joy. And these thousands of sadgurus use hundreds of shastras to help a shishya feel what they feel, to help a disciple grow out of escaping from pain to feeling peace. Billions, millions, thousands, hundreds. Searchers, shishyas, sadgurus, shastras. As we approach the fourth part of Sanatana Dharma, what do you think this will be? share with me in the chat room. Naturally, what are we going to focus on next? What's higher than the Shastra? Bhagavan. This will be the basis of today's class. Before we get to Bhagavan, I want us to be more clear about our Shastra. We live at the level of our software. We do not live at the level of our hardware, which is the body and breath. Our hands don't know what they're touching. Our breath is unconscious. It is the mind, particularly, where we live. And the mind's habit, propensity, is to do whatever it feels like doing. Do you find your mind is like that? I want to do this now. I want to sleep now. I don't want to go to school now. I feel like eating this now. When we let the mind dominate, what we're really doing is giving up our own freedom. The mind is trading in long-term freedom for short-term freedom, which is not freedom at all. We are responsible for giving up our freedom. And I was trying to visualize this for myself. If you think of the last seconds of a basketball game, an important game, when the ball is being passed in, who did they give the ball to? The player that feels like, I want to do whatever I want to do? Or to the player that is the strongest, the fastest, the most accurate? So now put yourself in that position. Who's running you? What's dominating? When we weaken our content, as in the software, then we strengthen our context. Make sure you caught that, okay? The more weak you are inside, the stronger outside becomes to push and pull you around. But if you have a strong inside, your software, then context is not stronger than you. You are. To keep the mind in check, we have the intellect. And the intellect is guided by, is fueled by ideals. These ideals are the purpose, are the fabric of our Veda. The Veda expresses as itihasas, and itihasas express as Puranas. For all of you who studied Ramayana with me, I had shared this detail. When Bhagavan Narayana decided to incarnate as Sri Rama, then the Veda also decided to incarnate as Ramayana. See how the Veda becomes the Itihasa, becomes the Purana. And their singular agenda is to make ideals real for us. Within the Veda, the beginning part, this is like a 101 course, is the Karma Kanda. The Karma Kanda focuses on pleasure, possession, position. How to be prosperous. The Karma Kanda is a means. The Karma Kanda is not indicative of how evolved you are. Contrary to how so many of us live, we feel when we see someone with a bigger Rudraksha Mala, when someone enunciates Vishnu Sahasranama better, when they can more accurately throw flowers at an altar, then that person is more evolved. That's where the mind is, in a stealth-like way, tricking the intellect. For those who are more advanced here means evolved, from a 101 course to a 501 course to a 1,000-level course, one then takes up the Jnana Kanda. The Jnana Kanda is the ends. This is the whole basis for the word Vedanta, the end of the Veda. This is the end. What's most important? And this is indicative of how evolved you are. How much you know what your nature is. I had read a quote that shared, the gauge of the greatness of a human is how they use their intellect. Not their bank account, not how many followers they have, but the utilization of this amazing tool that is the intellect. Again, visualizing this difference between the Karmakanda and Jnanakanda. If you could get remarried, and if you're not married, if you could get married, what would be more important to you, beauty or personality? Right, I don't even have to ask that question. The Karmakanda is those who focus on beauty. And the Jnanakanda, those who focus on personality. With this clearer understanding of the Shastra, the specific purpose, how this is not complex, this is most simple. The Shastra comes from Bhagavan. In many scriptures, what is shared is the breath of God or the word of God is the Shastra. So if you follow that word, if you follow that breath, what will you be led to? Bhagavan. The word Bhagavan is not poetic, rather is technical. Bhagavan. Bhagavan. You know the movie Beggar Vance? It comes from Bhagavan. Did you know that? I'm sarcastic all the time, I know, but here I'm not being sarcastic. And there's 18 holes, 18 chapters. This whole movie is about Bhagavad Gita, for your reference. Bhaga means fortune. And van means has or is. This is like buddhiman. Man, van, those are synonyms for each other. The one who has an intellect. So what kind of fortune does Bhagavan have? There are six fortunes that are assigned to Bhagavan, and these are. The order is not important, but generally this is how this is shared. Number one, Aishwarya. Aishwarya in English means to be joyous. To be joyous. Number two, dharma. Dharma means to be responsible. Number three, yasha. Yasha means to be revered. Do not write famous. There's lots of famous people who are so useless. To be revered. Number four is Shriya. Shriya means to be virtuous. Number five, Vairagya. To be independent. And number six, Jnana. To be wise. whatever you've missed, make sure you circle this. That's why we have a dialogue at the end of each class. These six fortunes are not finite, rather are infinite. Bhagavan is always responsible. We are mostly responsible, but sometimes we're not responsible. Yes? When we're lacking energy, lacking enthusiasm. Correct? We are always wise, other than with our families. See, we are also Bhaga Ardhavan. Our qualities are half, or a quarter, or a tenth, or a hundredth. But Bhagavan's qualities are infinite. They are always. And this is such an important message because we feel that Bhagavan is one who rules over us from above. We feel Bhagavan is one who's outside of us. Bhagavan is virtues. So many devis have the prefix Bhagya. Bhagya Parvati, Bhagya Lakshmi. Bhagya means the one who is fortunate. The one who's fortunate is the one who has fortune. And what are these fortunes? These virtues. These virtues are the way to be independently joyous. When you live patiently, when you live compassionately, you're happy. That happiness is coming from you. Not from someone's compliment or someone's appreciation. The connectivity of Bhagavan and Shastra is so lovely. What is often shared as the pillars of Sanatana Dharma, and I don't have a reference for this, I've not read this, but I've only heard this. The three pillars of Sanatana Dharma are Brahmacharya, Ahimsa, and Satya. Brahmacharya, Ahimsa, Satya. Brahmacharya means non-indulging. Ahimsa, non-harming. Satya, non-compromising. So what are the pillars of our entire religion? Values. What is God? Virtues. See, values are in a book, virtues are lived. These three pillars, Brahmacharya is for our bodies. Ahimsa is for our minds. And Satya is for our intellect. When one converts values to virtues, one is evolving from a jiva to Ishvara. The more fortunate you become, when you go from sometimes responsible to always responsible, you are Bhagavan. You are independently joyous. Isn't that the message of the Upanishad of Acharya Shankara? The jiva and Ishvara are what? So how do you do that? More puja, more donations. It is through living everything that's been shared so far. Swami Chinmayananda has written, humanity started off in the age of perception. Back in the day when, I'll generalize and say we were cave people. Then we perceived thunder. We perceived lightning. And there was no more thinking behind that. It was simply a reaction. The age of perception evolved into the age of observation. One started to observe there are cold periods and there are hot periods. And after the hot period, there's a cold period. So humanity started to think more. The age of observation evolved to the age of inquiry. That is really the age of science, where we wanted to know everything outside of ourselves. Do you all know who Richard Scarry is? We have a lot of Richard Scarry books, and one of the books is about how stuff works. How does corn grow? What is the water cycle like? So I read these books to Vyasa, and all day today he was asking, why does it rain? Why does it rain? And I gave him 1,000 reasons about why it rains. See, that's inquiry, correct? And you're all laughing because he's 3 years old. You're 30 years old or 60 years old, and you're no different. How do you make more money? How do you make more money? How do we be better looking? How should we be younger? The age of inquiry has now evolved to the age of inquiry. A searcher inquiring, a shishya inquiring. Who are you? Who is your guide? Who is your creator? This age of inquiry will lead us to feeling that Bhagavan is not ruling above us, is not outside of us, but rather is in us, as us. That's how you know you're evolving from inquiry to inquiry. And some strong points to help us to inquire, to internalize this present. We have all outside, yet don't feel complete. Agreed? What are you missing in your life? And whatever you say, as soon as you get that, you'll still feel like I'm missing something in my life, right? We have all, yet we don't feel all. So we shouldn't change what we have. We should change what we feel. This is how you internalize. To convert values to virtues, to practice, is difficult. Today, I have been thinking a lot about jealousy and how those who are jealous are always trying to stop others. The word jealousy means Matsarya, which means Matsarati. When you're behind me, I like it a lot. When you're beside me, I don't like it as much. I'm pseudo-concerned. But when you slip ahead of me, that's where I feel jealous. And what do? I try to stop you, right? So it doesn't make any sense. Why should I feel jealous? Why should I stop someone else? Why should someone do that to me? Logically, not being jealous, not being frustrated is easy, yes? But to practice that is difficult. And so what do? We don't practice. And then we blame religion. Correct? We didn't make it all the way to inquiry. We got pushed back to inquiry. Millions have an issue with religion, with Hinduism, with Sanatana Dharma, perhaps because they're not tough enough, gritty enough, resilient enough to keep on practicing. So the default is externalize God. When things go well, I did it. When things don't go well, he did it. One becomes blame-oriented. When one starts to grow, grow into brahmacharya, ahimsa, satya, when one starts to grow into bhajya, they start to enjoy discipline. For anyone who's in a regimented exercise routine, you look forward to that. You enjoy that. Class is no different. For some of you, 9 o'clock is torture. For some of you who have immersed yourself, 9 o'clock is swarga. And I'm bringing this point up because in the first class I shared how important discipline is, how we don't want to be told what to do. But if you analyzed brahmacharya, ahimsa, and satya carefully, what are those called collectively? There's 5 of them. We've gone through this a lot, especially in meaningful mornings. They're called the yamas. And yama in English means don't. See the connectivity again. Nobody wants to be told what not to do. But we need this. Once we start to practice, we enjoy this discipline. Final thought about Bhagavan for today. It is easier, and let me just give you some, I think it's called foreshadowing. I'm telling you what's going to happen. The 5th part of Sanatana Dharma, where does Bhagavan come from? Brahman. I'm telling you in advance. It is easier to understand and appreciate Brahman, that is infinity, than it is to understand and appreciate Bhagavan. So today I've given you half of what I want to share about Bhagavan. In our next class, I'll give you half more. Bhagavan has so many names, like Ishvara, like Creator. What does this all mean? Bhagavan is an icon of balance. So much of what I've shared is about shifting from context to content. Context will always be imbalanced. Weather, economy, technology. That doesn't mean you have to be imbalanced. And for those who are in our Vedanta and Bhagavata course, who is the biggest complainers in Bhagavata? The devas. The suras are the biggest whiners, aren't they? They're always living in an indisciplined way. Then they lose. Then they go and complain to Bhagavan Brahma. He can't help them, so he says, go to Bhagavan Narayana. And what's Bhagavan Narayana doing? Chilling. Him and Devi Lakshmi are having a great time. Just being. See the imbalance to the balance. The suras, most imbalanced. Bhagavan Brahma, more balanced. Bhagavan Narayana, an icon of balance. This is how we, as shishyas, become one with Bhagavan. And one very practical way of doing this, when we start to train ourselves, when we use our intellect to see the big picture, we start to have small problems then. Right now we have big problems because we're only seeing the small picture. But once we see the big picture, all of our problems become small, no? Bhagavan sees the biggest picture possible. Bhagavan sees all of us. That's why Bhagavan is in harmony, balance, samatva. Today when I was driving Vyasa around, he likes to see a helicopter pad near our home. And I thought it would be open because so much is opening, but it's not opened. And he was quite disappointed. And then we drove by an area where we went for a protest for Black Lives Matter. And I was thinking to myself that we couldn't go to the helicopter pad. What a big problem. But then when you start to think of Black Lives Matter, when you see the bigger picture, is it a problem that the helipad was closed? Is it a problem that you didn't get a promotion? Is it a problem that you had a disagreement with your spouse? Is it a problem that you didn't understand half of what I said today? It's not a problem. I'm telling you it's not a problem. Feel Bhagwan.
If you enjoyed what you heard or want to learn more, share this episode with a friend or find us online at facebook.com/CM Niagara. For those on the journey of self-development, Chinmay Mission Niagara provides a community forum for seekers to listen, reflect, and contemplate. This podcast is produced by the Young Adults of Chinmay Mission, an international nonprofit working to transform individuals through the knowledge of Vedanta. Until next time, inspire, love, be.